One thing I was reflecting upon this morning was the hymn that we sang about how the Lord Jesus was, I forget the actual wording, but you could probably fill in a lot of words, happy and joyful before he even came to this earth. Everything that he needed, he had at his fingertips, and they were together in heaven, the Trinity, before Jesus came. But it's amazing to think that he would actually come down to this earth and redeem us. And it's a real act of kindness and love and mercy that he would do that. And it really brings joy to my heart to think about that he wanted others into the fold as well. So let's just praise his name this morning and continue to read from his glorious word and see what the Bible has to say about that this morning. All right, let me get myself situated here. The first section I want to start off in is in Psalm. There's a couple topics that I wanted to speak about this morning. Over the last week or so, two different ones that came into my mind. And usually I prefer to draw from Scripture as opposed to doing more of a topical, but I just couldn't see if I couldn't mash these two together. So I'm going to try to do that. One of the topics is about authority, and the second one is about commitment. So we're going to see some verses that relate to some of those topics from Scripture and see how they apply, and at the end, hopefully, we'll do both of those justice. But the first one is in Psalm 106. We'll start in verse 6. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. In verse 11, and the waters covered their enemies. There was none of them left. Then believed they his words, they sang his praise. But they soon forgot his works, they waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Allow me to read that verse 15 in another translation. So he gave them what they asked for, but he sent a plague along with it. That's where I want to stop for now. And that verse was one that stood out with me, along with all that came along leading up to it. It rings a bell in our lives, and in my life especially, when you think about things that the Lord has done for us, and then we soon forget his mercies. And it's interesting to see that he gave them what they asked for. You want your wickedness? You want your desires? Here, have it. And has a plague along with it. And sometimes in life you see that happen to people. Christians or not, there's things that happen. He gives us what we desire, but we also get the things that we don't desire. And why do we do that? Why does he do that? And we'll get into some of the reasons why that is, but I believe that it's a reminder. It's a way of telling us this is not where we need to be putting our faith and our comfort and our love, and our affections need to be on Jesus and eternity, not what we have here on earth. So he'll remind us, sometimes gently, sometimes more aggressively. But this verse really was something that reflected upon me also in another section of Psalm where he was talking about how blessed are those that their sins are covered. This opening the sea was quite a dramatic scenario. And it shows that he opened up the earth so they could get through. And then, boom, it covered up the sinful people that were chasing them and wanted to kill them. And he's already done that for us. He's already opened up heaven to us. Jesus came down and brought that to our earth so that we may see through the eyes of faith and be saved. So everything here that we have on this earth, whether it's good or bad, it needs to be reflected in how our heart's desire towards him is. So again, as we go through, this is kind of the topic, authority and commitment. Where is our commitment level to the Lord? We already know that all authority has been given to Jesus on earth and in heaven. That's something that we take for granted sometimes because there's a lot of verses that talk about authority. So I didn't really want to dive full bore into this topic of authority because you could really be here all day on it. But I just wanted to touch about a couple sections of that. One of the things that catches my eye when people talk is when they say that they're blessed. And that word blessing or being blessed is something that people that don't understand the truth of what Scripture teaches don't fully grasp that meaning of blessing. So in Psalm 32, actually, we were just reading the other day, kind of stuck out at me. Let me just read a couple sections there from that one. And this is the perfect response to those people that say, I've asked people, how are you doing? And they'll say, oh, blessed. And they're not even Christians or they're whatever. So this is a good response for them. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. We all have sin. They have sin that people we talk to, we see every day are sinners, and whether they realize it or not. But it's a good little response to say to them, is your sin covered? Is your sin forgiven? Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Just a little side note for the this morning. Again, this morning we want to continue on with a couple of verses. We're going to turn over to Matthew in just a moment, but I wanted to give you a little precursor of how things were the last couple of weeks in my life. I like to bring experiences into what I bring to the pulpit here because what I deal with on a day-to-day basis and who I deal with influence my life. And as we all do, we have people that we love and we care about and people that we don't necessarily have an affection for, but we deal with that influence our life. So it's a matter of, you know, taking what the Lord has teaching us. And the one thing that we want to make sure that we keep in mind is the authority of Scripture. That's going to be the theme, is where is that authority coming from in our life as a Christian? So usually when I look to a certain topic or Scripture verses, I use the Bible as the primary authority, obviously. The Spirit guides me in that. But he has written these things down, and we should heed these advice. Not necessarily others, even though others have good advice. We have people that speak the truth. And thankfully, we have enough people here that if something is spoken in error, it can be corrected. And somebody can make it known that we spoke in error based on the truth of the Word of God. So when I look at these things, sometimes I'll get an idea, if you will, from somebody else, whether it's my wife. She has a lot more wisdom than I do in a lot of spiritual matters, so I draw from that. I have other brothers and sisters that I speak with as well. Sometimes, occasionally, I'll use a commentary to look at, but not rarely, often at all. But this last week or two, the advice came from an unusual source, and it was my son, who's only 8. Now, this little boy is being trained every day, and by the grace of God, we get to continue to do that. And until the Lord brings him to a place of repentance and until he brings him into the fold, we are going to train him according to what the Scriptures tell us to do. So, but it's amazing to see when you do that, when you focus your time and you submit your will to the Lord's will, what the Lord can do and what he can do with somebody else. And my son, Jesse, pointed out something this past week or two that was really interesting, and I wanted to share that because I was at a study a couple weeks ago. Usually I'm working Mondays, and years ago I was involved with a men's study, and this is the reason why I'm actually standing in this place is because of that. And I know a lot of you know all that, but I'm not going to get into those details. But a couple weeks ago, Monday night, we were at a study, and it was a men's study, so I decided to take my son. And they were talking about a topic. It was more of a topical study. They usually go through the Scriptures when I'm there in the past, but they're taking a break for the summer, so they're covering a topical study about prayer on that specific day. So the gentleman was talking about prayer and how his hands were really bothering him, and he was praying to God. And it was just after we went around the room and talked about specific needs of the men there and different prayer requests. So he went on and on about prayer, and he read from Matthew. We actually had Jesse, because Jesse was the youngest one in the room, as opposed to all these older gentlemen. So I think it was refreshing for them to see some young blood in there. And he asked Jesse to read chapter 7, verse 7, and I'll read it aloud. It says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened." Real famous verse, we all know that one. So he was drawing that out of the scripture, and he was talking about prayer and trying to get healing for his hands. And the Lord hadn't healed him yet. So he was continuing on in the study, and probably 20 minutes later, Jesse raised his hand and said, "Can we read Matthew chapter 8? So they're like, "Okay, let's read Matthew chapter 8. So I'm looking at it. I'm like, "Well, where did he get this from? I'm wondering where he's going." I just let him go sometimes, and then, you know, what happens, happens. So he read Matthew 8, and there was two or three verses here, and it says, "And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou will, thou can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed." So we look at that verse, and yes, the Lord healed this leper. But the key verse that he pointed out was, says, "And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will." The gentleman asked the Lord, "If it's your will, you will heal me. Can you hear me?" And it was the Lord's will, so he healed him. And that was the point he was trying to get across to this gentleman. He says, if it's the Lord's will, he will heal you. And these men are like, what? They were dumbfounded. It was really interesting to see, because if it is the Lord's will, he will heal them. If it's not the Lord's will, he won't. So that was the focus. And I'm thinking to myself, well, okay, he just doesn't know this on his own. He must get some kind of teaching, and I know where his teaching comes from. And I asked my wife about it. I said, well, where does this come from? He says, well, we talked recently, I don't know how recently, about Joni Erickson Tatar, I guess. I don't know if you know her. She's an invalid. She's been praying for healing of her body for years and years, but she remains committed to the Lord. And the Lord has not healed her. So they have experiences through these different things, and it's interesting to see it come out in these lives that matter to us, that we have interaction with other people, that we can influence in a way that the scripture can be revealed in a greater way. So again, the authority on earth here is from Jesus. If it's his will, and that's the will we need to be following, as opposed to our will. So sometimes that can get blurred. Some of those two kind of merge, and we think it's the Lord's will and it's really our will. So hopefully some of the scripture verses will give some clarity on some of this. And I experience it a lot. I see people every day, and I have all kinds of opportunities one-on-one with people. And there's a gentleman that came into the office a week or so ago, and he had a hat that said, "I love Jesus." So this is a perfect opportunity to talk to somebody, and you want to make sure that does he really love Jesus. But I think after talking to this gentleman, he loved Jesus because he healed him. He was talking about some, I don't know, bladder or prostate cancer or something that he had, and the Lord healed him. And he was focused on that component. You know, he was all about that. And then I said to him, I said, well, I have a disease, I have a cancer that the Lord healed me from, and it's called sin. And then he didn't really want to get into that too much. So, you know, this is the power of the Word of God. These little details can be drawn from and used in our lives, especially when it gets really difficult, when we see people that are complex, that are complicated, full of sin in every way, that need this piercing arrow to get into them because their hearts are hardened by sin after sin. And the only thing that can break through that is the Word of God and His power. And that's where we draw the authority from. And that's hence why I'm speaking this morning. So the focus remains the Word of God. The Word of God is our guide, is our truth. We can stand upon that. So that's where we're going to go this morning. We're going to turn over to Luke chapter 8. Or no, sorry, 11. Now that story time is over, we can get into some scriptures. Luke chapter 11. And a couple verses just to draw out this component of the Word of God being our focus in life and drawing all the truth that we live from it. In Luke chapter 11, verses 27 and 28, we read, "And it came to pass, as he spoke these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, Rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." Jesus was confronted here when he was preaching and speaking from this person that said, "Blessed is your mother that bore you." But what did he do? He took it to another specific place that blessed is the one that hears the word and keeps it. And that's one of the emphases that I want to focus on, is keeping that word deep within our hearts so that we may not sin against thee. And that's where the problem comes in a lot of lives nowadays. I see, especially in mine, where sin gets infiltrated and can blur the lines, if you will. So we need to be focused on that just as much, because if we're not, we're going to get swept up under the sea, we're going to get lost in our own ways, and sometimes we'll be calling for things that we don't necessarily need or want or is good. So also, faith comes by hearing, as in Romans says. So we hear the word of God, we also read it. This is something that comes into us, and this is where the faith we draw from, and this is where all these things in our life should be applied from, is that starting point of the word of God. Another verse I'd like to go through is 1 Thessalonians. And I can read it aloud. "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." More encouraging words about how these words that the apostles were teaching and preaching came to these men, and they heard them, and they were applied to their lives. Because we believe. I mean, as far as I know, everyone in this room believes. And that's the hardest part, is to subject yourself to that belief of God. We see it around us. We recognize the truth all around us. But some people don't, for whatever reason. But the belief part goes deeper than that. Believing starts the point of Christian walk, but applying it to our lives, turning and repenting and trusting in the Lord, and getting it through our hard hearts so it can manifest itself in our lives, so the Lord can manifest himself in our lives, in our hearts. And that was one of the things that I had a hard time with when I was an early Christian. I believed in my head, but it didn't get through to my heart, and my life showed accordingly. So we need to bring honor upon the Lord by letting that heart change continue to take place, that he can work in our lives, and he continues to grow and manifest himself and show his glory. Because it's not about us. It's about him living through us. And isn't it a great thing to know that we've been saved from our sin? Because sin brought death, and destruction is the end result of that. And we are being saved from that. Thank the Lord. Another verse on that specific topic of authority of the scripture is 1 Corinthians 4, verses 20 and 21. And I'll read that one. This is Paul speaking. "But I will come, and soon, if the Lord lets me, and then I'll find out whether these arrogant people just give pretentious speeches or whether they really have God's power. For the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk, it is living by God's power. Which do you choose? Should I come with a rod to punish you, or should I come with love and a gentle spirit?" So again, it's bringing out, where are you at in your life? Are you living by God's power and applying it, not just talking about it? And that's another word, in essence, for authority is power. He's holding back his judgment. This world, I'm not sure they understand what's to come if they die in their sins. But it's our job to point that out. Because we know this truth. And to keep it under a basket or hidden would not do the Lord justice. So I want to encourage each of us, myself included, to continue to do that day in and day out. But it's interesting to see when you look at when Jesus spoke, the actual God-man in the flesh speaking, how some people were resistant to him even. So if he's going to be resisted, Who's to say they're going to receive us with open arms? We will have resistance. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. And it's great when it doesn't happen. But Jesus was resisted. And one of the main verses that I want to talk about with regards to that authority being questioned is in Mark chapter 11. So let's turn back to Mark again. Matthew, Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, verses 27 to 33, we'll read. And this is where, after Jesus clears the temple, he speaks in 27. And they come again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, there come to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. So the whole crew is there, questioning, listening to him, and saying unto him, "By what authority do you do these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "I will also ask you one question, and answer me." It's interesting how he could have just said right then and there the truth, but they weren't ready for that. So he gave them the truth in a different roundabout way, if you will. "And I will tell you by what authority I do these things." So he wants them to answer this question. It's a little riddle, if you will. "The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me." Well, which one is it? It was from heaven, not from men. "But they reasoned with themselves, saying, 'If we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe me?'" Or believe him, John. "But if we shall say of men, they feared the people. For all men counted John that he was a prophet indeed." So I love the it's similar to the story in Matthew chapter 9, where Jesus talks about authority to forgive sins. It's amazing to see how the body works and how it's crafted. And when somebody comes into a diseased state, I don't think anybody... Have you ever seen a miracle actually happen when somebody is healed? We hear about it a lot, but for somebody to lose their sight and not see, and then all of a sudden see is a miracle. I mean, scientifically speaking, it's impossible. Only by God's power can that happen. And this scripture that talks about Matthew chapter 9, where the sins are talked about, we'll get into that in a little bit, but the gist of it is the people bring him a person that was crippled, and they wanted him healed. They heard Jesus was healing, so they wanted him healed. So what does Jesus do first? He says, your sins are forgiven. And they're like, no, wait, we're trying to get him healed physically. He put the spiritual matter first, and then he healed the person. What's the sense of healing that person if he can get up and walk and run off and do whatever he wants and end up in hell? So he gave them a riddle as well. Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to get up and walk? That was one of the most powerful things that I've seen in Scripture, that those both of them only come from God. And it's outlined in a different way here in Mark. So this commitment, this level that we see of authority that comes through Jesus and the power of his word, I mean, this whole morning that we were reading from different scriptures and the hymns that we sang, line after line was just truth upon truth that we were singing and worshiping and praising the Lord with. And it was amazing to see, because I stand in awe sometimes where I can you listen to someone preaching or speaking God's word and the power that it has. And for me, that's enough for me. I'm all in. I'm committed to the Lord, and that's the one thing that we, as Christians, need to be doing, is committing our lives. He lived and was dead and died for us. So the least we can do is live for him. And it's something that happens in our lives. We go on throughout our life, and things get in the way. So I just want to encourage everybody to get that order in place now before you start the week, before you start whatever you're going to be planning. Because it's his purpose that will prevail. Our plans don't always work out. So if they match up, then how much more glorious will that be? So Romans, two verses on commitment to continue on this before we finish up this morning. There's two verses that I want to read briefly on this matter of commitment. One is a personal verse that I really apply or try to apply and take to heart is in Romans chapter 12. And the second one will be, I guess, more of a bodily or church-related commitment verse that we can read. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Again, it's not about us, it's about him. He started this whole process. He knew in advance whether we would be saved or not, whether we would come to the Lord. He knew in advance everything that was going to happen, especially Jesus going to the cross. So as we realize this, we know that this life is not our own. And what better outcome it will be when we apply our wills to the will of the Lord, because once we die in our bodies, that's it here on this earth. We go on to the next. There'll be a new heaven, a new earth. That's where the focus should be. And it's a whole lot different, I think, than what we perceive sometimes. And it's a whole lot different than what we're doing here on this earth. What we do here on Sunday mornings is just a small taste. And I love when Mike talks about that. It's a small taste of heaven. Because we're here with other believers. We're praising the Lord. We're focusing on him. We're surrounding him. We're together. It's amazing to see the people that I hang out with or know during the week. But I come on Sundays and we have all of you here from all different walks of life, if you will. And it's going to be just like that. And the focus should be on that. So our bodies should be holy and acceptable to him. And the other verse is in Acts. So it's a very common verse that we all... I'm not going to dive too much into Acts, but Acts 2:42 is another verse talking about the believers from a certain community in the Bible. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Four things. I mean, there's other things, I'm sure, but these are the main ones, it looks like. The fellowship with one another, the breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper here, the prayers, and the doctrine, the truth that comes from the Word of God, applying it to our lives. So as I mentioned, this authority and this commitment, two kind of different verses or two different ideas, I guess, if you will. And I tried to figure out how we could merge these two, but I think they speak for themselves. The authority is applied in our lives from the Lord Jesus so that we may live for him. And as we realize these simple facts, and I say simple, it's sometimes not that easy, but it is easy when we just submit to that. It's our own wills that get in the way. So we need to be careful about that, and building on a solid foundation is utmost importance. Because if not, we can get swept away. When you're speaking with people, knowing what kind of truth to bring out in certain situations is important. Because the enemy is crafty. The enemy's going to come at us in all different ways. And I'm really appreciative when I started fellowshipping here, the strict importance to not letting Satan get a foothold into this assembly. And the diligence that the elders and the brothers that oversee this pay to not letting that happen, because it happened. That's happened all over the church. Our eyes, I think, are going to be amazed to see what happens with the church that's out there in the world now, what's going on, the silliness and all the stuff that's going on. Even believers that I look at as brothers in the Lord, I look on Facebook or whatever, and some of the things that they're doing, I don't find that in Scripture. Where are you getting that from? It's not from God. So it's got to be from you. Man. Faulty. So as a church, as an assembly, we got to guard against that. And we see people that have come in and out of here. And what happens? What the enemy gets a hold of them and infiltrates the assembly. So we got to be very careful. We got to know the word. We got to apply it and stick to it. And pray that the Lord keeps us till that day, that he either comes back or we're called to him. So the foundation is important. In Matthew chapter 7, back, we'll finish off in that verse. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 29. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. That's all my house is built upon. It, not just my spiritual life, but my house in Thompson is all rock. I can't dig a foot into the ground with hitting it. And it's funny, I drove by another house in Putnam, Connecticut. He's right on a ledge. And I'm like, why would somebody put that right there? It's just one little rainstorm. He's going to go away. But anyway, in verse 25, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. These storms will come. And sometimes they come from the Lord. And sometimes, most of the times, they come from the enemy. He's on attack. We need to be on guard. Our house needs to be built on this rock. And I'm very grateful for those that are here that defend that. I'm grateful for Mrs. Shaw that's been here probably longer than I can even know of time. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. When the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as having, he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your authority in our lives. We thank you for your authority in our church meeting. We thank you for your son Jesus, who has all the authority in heaven and on earth. We just ask you to help submit our lives to him and to his teaching and his will, that we may go out into about our lives and be a glory for thee, shine the light of Jesus in our hearts from our hearts outwardly. And we pray for each teaching that goes on in this assembly, with the classes and the young ones, that you may bring every one of those children that are in there into the fold, Lord. We pray for their lives, that they may be saved and bring glory to you as well. Until we meet next Lord's Day, Lord, may this week be a blessing upon you, the Tuesday meetings, all the other meetings that go on individually or as a group. We pray for those, the needs of the assembly, Lord. We continue to lift up the prayers for each and every one that needs prayer. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.